This episode of the Early Risers podcast is sponsored by the 5-Day Peak Performance Challenge. Guys and girls, if you are an entrepreneur or high performer struggling with poor focus, low energy, or no time, or maybe you're just looking to push yourself and level up your mental clarity and your daily performance without caffeine or other types of drugs, make sure to check out this challenge. In just 5 days, you're going to learn how to explode your daily energy, focus, and time, propel yourself into a deeper and more restful sleep, and build massive productivity and momentum in your life. People have been loving this challenge so far, and if you're ready to commit to taking things to that next level, make sure you check out the show notes for the link to join. 5 days, 5 different ways to explode your performance. Make sure you check it out. And with that being said, let's get into the show. What's going on, everybody? You are tuning into the Early Risers podcast. I'm your host, Skylar Deem, and I am an early riser. Listen, if you are a first-time tuner inner to the show, I'd like to welcome you. The show is all about helping you live a more effective life, and I call it the Early Risers podcast because that's what I believe an early riser to be. It's someone who's hungry to be better in every aspect of their life, right? Whereas they could sleep in another hour, or another 30 minutes, another 2 hours, they decide because they have goals that they want to meet and they have parts of their life that they want to improve, that they'll wake up a little bit earlier and use that time for uninterrupted personal development. So you don't have to wake up at 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. to be an early riser. You just need to wake up a little bit earlier than normal and use that extra time for some sort of morning routine that pushes you to get better. So I'm super, super excited for everyone tuning into the show. If you caught my words at the beginning, I said for those people tuning in, this podcast is also on YouTube. So if you are a normal listener and maybe you're looking to get some visuals to the show, make sure you check it out. It's just a Zoom call for today's episode, but in the future, maybe there shall be episodes that are, you know, me just speaking to a guest or me or something that is also a little more interactive. So I appreciate you all for being here. I'm super excited to have you. We have a great guest on today's show. As a reminder, before we start, if you get any sort of value out of the show, make sure you head over to iTunes and leave a rating and a review. This is a free show. I'm putting a ton of effort, a ton of research, a ton of work into getting great guests and making this the best show possible. And so in return, all I ask is that you head over to iTunes and leave that rating and review, because that's how the show gets ranked. And the higher the show is ranked, the more awesome guests I can bring on. So I appreciate you for being here once again. I hope you enjoy the episode. And with that being said, let's get into it. So today's special guest is Preddy Tiwari. Preddy, thank you for being here, man.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, man. I'm super excited. I've actually checked out a lot of your work, and it's cool because I actually saw your profile, and I have a buddy who follows you on Instagram, and he was talking to me about you, and he'd mentioned me before we actually connected. So it was actually really cool to come on your show. And I always say that, man, whenever I'm on a show, you know, telling my story, but it's not really about my story. It's about the listener's story and how they can find value from the stuff that I talk about. And that's my goal, man. If that you listen to this episode and you can, one thing you can take along with you and apply it to your life, like right away, that for me is a big win, man. So that's going to be the goal for today, and providing tons of value, and hopefully people can take away and apply it right away.
Yeah, man. And I love that. And thank you for mentioning that. That's just exciting for me as someone who's really just been working to grow this and, you know, make an impact. That's just really cool. So thank you for mentioning that, and awesome. Super excited to have you on. For the people who don't know who you are, do you mind giving a brief introduction about your background and your story? Because I know you have like a pretty hardcore story, and it's one that I really respect, and you're doing a lot of great things. So yeah, if you want to just start off with an introduction.
100%, dude. Yeah, man. So I actually moved here from the Netherlands. It's been a few years now, actually, right? A little bit before college. And I came here, and I was always really passionate about business and entrepreneurship. I wanted to do something in that space. And I also had a massive interest in health and fitness. I'm a competitive bodybuilder. I've been competing for quite a long time. And I found a way to marry both of them by starting and getting into the dietary supplement space. So I have, and we can delve into that a little bit more later, but I have basically grown and kind of scaled several businesses in the dietary supplements space. And as I was doing that, and I was kind of, you know, it's all about business. You don't have to be right all the time. You got to be right once. And if you're successful and you're competent, you don't have to build a, you know, a $1 billion company. But if you're successful, you're bringing in income, you're employing people and scaling, people start to notice that because you're competent. And then that's what happened with me. I was able to succeed in college with one of my businesses. And that basically sparked interest for other people who had business ideas coming to me for assistance. And I started investing in their companies. And then that way I was able to build a little bit of a portfolio throughout college. And after college, I actually ended up going to law school. For a lot of people, it didn't sound like super intuitive. Like, man, if you're going to go to school, you should probably do an MBA because that's like your thing, business. But I found that the biggest issues I was having for growth were legal problems and legal issues as far as like understanding contracts and negotiating, understanding all the terms. And I really wanted to go to law school, that which I did. And after I finished law school and during law school, I was growing a couple of companies. I went into real estate development as well. But one of the companies I really focused on was a nootropic company. And for people who kind of heard about nootropics, I know it's kind of a big thing right now. It is basically a dietary supplement for, you know, cognitive enhancement, but I really use it for total productivity and for biohacking. And I got into that space, and that's the company I'm currently working mostly on, and that's my full-time, my full effort goes into that. So yeah, definitely a vast experience. I'm a corporate attorney. I don't practice anymore, and I focus mostly on real estate development on the side, but mostly also on my nootropic company called Azith.
I love it, man. Yeah, and the name is really cool because before looking at the company, I'd never heard of that word, but I just love the definition. You mind just explaining kind of the meaning behind the name?
Sure, man. Yeah. So you look up the word Azith, and it actually comes from alchemy. And the concept of alchemy is like different elements or trying to create something out of nothing. And there's several stories around what the word Azith really means. But one of the stories that stuck with me and how I came on it, it's actually an element, which is mentioned in the Old Testament. And the idea was that whoever finds this element is able to awaken latent human potential. Now, the cool thing is no one's ever found this element. But it's kind of mentioned, you know, several times through in the works of alchemy and then the Old Testament. And it's kind of mentioned and we're all in the process of seeking Azith. And that's, that really stuck with me. So when I was building this company out, when I'm talking about, one of the brands that I've kind of created for myself and my message always is like, it's true, like self-development, true, you know, whether it's financial or mental or physical health isn't something you get from the outside. Like, I'm not someone who's going to be like, dude, you want to be healthy and successful, take my supplement. I never say that. I actually believe that all the tools, you already have it within you. It's within you. But the goal is that you can use different tools to basically awaken that and to get more out of your day or your time or your health. And so when we created Azith, the concept was to introduce peak productivity in people's lives, to get more out of their day. And in doing so, they could really awaken their own potential that's already within them. And that's the concept of why we called it Azith, and not like, you know, cognitive enhancer 452 or, you know, muscle blaster 45 or something like that, which I didn't think it would accurately capture the brand that I wanted to build and the message that I have always had for other people who are looking for success. Because I always tell them, man, your best ideas, the things that you love, the things that you're going to be able to provide and help other people with, it's already here, man. You just got to find out how to tap into that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'd love for you to kind of dive into a little bit about what kickstarted that company, because I read on the website a little bit about your bio and the, you know, you had this hunger in you and you were working really, really hard and you were trying to maximize all these different areas of your life. And yeah, there was like a moment where that kind of changed, right?
Yeah, man. This was actually, I kind of went over my bio. I went to college and my first year in law school, I remember my orientation, I was able to get to law school and I was there on a scholarship. And I remember I talked to the dean and the first day was like orientation. She talked to me and she said, "Freddie, it's really cool. You have all these businesses and we love that. And you're competing in bodybuilding. We love that. But now you're in law school. So one of the things I'm just going to tell you, law school is brutal. It's like not something you've ever done before. So maybe you should consider toning down or stopping one of those things and focusing just on law school." And I don't know, just the way I'm wired, man, that kind of bothers me, because I've always thrived on doing so many different things and being involved in different projects. When I'm just doing one thing, I'm like bored, man. I'm like, oh shit, all I got to do is school. Like, I don't feel that I'm like productive. So I wasn't really like listening to her advice. I was like, okay, yeah, it's fine. I've heard that many times. So I go through law school, man, like the first year, first semester. And dude, it was like an ass beating, man. Like, it was so difficult, and it was like a whole different level of the type of people that are there, especially law school I went to. It was a really good law school, and just the type of people that were there, and the motivation for everyone was so high. And I remember, like, I got my first few grades back, and while there were nothing really bad, I wasn't happy with them, because I've always taken pride in my academics being like amazing. So I go back to the dean after the first few midterms, and she said, okay, I'm going to show you something else. So she brings me outside to basically the general office area, and she said, you see that kid over there? He was a Rhodes Scholar. You see that girl over there? She was in the Olympics. And then she said, you see that guy over there? He started another business and he scaled it. So she looked at me. It's like, all the stuff that you've done, it means nothing here. Everyone here is a rock star. You're not the only rock star here. And I remember her saying that, and it really bothered me again. It got under my skin, but it was in a good way. Like, she really motivated me. And I remember I was like, man, I got to change some stuff. Like, I gotta find what I can do to be, really still kill it at school. So then I started in biohacking, and the concept of biohacking is, how can you get more out of your own body? So I started doing different sleep cycles, and I also started relying heavily on supplements, because that's my kind of background. I've had access to all these supplements, and one of the things I started using heavily was caffeinated stuff and stimulants. And it ended up doing the trick for a little bit, man. But I remember I was taking so many stimulants, and I was going off almost no sleep. And people got to remember, like, I was here trying to compete in nationals at bodybuilding. And I had several companies at that time that I was running, and I was going to law school. I was a full-time student. So, and I remember I was on a treadmill, and I wasn't like feeling good one day. And then I was like, man, something isn't right. That same day, I had a big event at law school that I had to participate in. And dude, I actually, over several like week span, I started crashing. And I mean crashing, like, to the point where I had to be like, go to the doctor and be hospitalized. Like, it was really bad, man. It was not in a good spot. Now, I remember being, hospitalized and thinking, dude, I got to change my life. Like, I got to find something else. I'm not going to quit what I'm doing, but I can't do the things that I'm doing right now to help me get there. Like, the stimulants and the coffee, I got to quit it. Long story short, I'll go online. I'm looking for stuff, and I start reading medical papers, and I hear about these ingredients that Russians were using, like, during the space race. And they were like, dude, this is stuff like, they were using, they're giving to their astronauts, and they're giving to like military personnel, and they're doing it so they can get an edge. And I was like, dude, this is amazing. Like, what is this? So I look into it, and there was something called nootropics. And I was like, dude, what is this? Where can I find nootropics? I want to get my hands on it. So back in the day, there wasn't like a lot of nootropic companies or anything. You had to buy the raws from like different labs, and I would order the raws. And yeah, man, I would order the raws. And I had a buddy who was at Boston University at the chem lab. And I was like, dude, you have all this equipment. Like, let's try to encapsulate, because I want to use it for myself, for my own peak productivity, and to get more out of my day. And I remember it took a long time to get the right formula, because nootropics, like, you have different ingredients, but you got to match them together. It's not like a supplement, like a multivitamin or like a creatine or something, where you take one ingredient and you're good. You need to combine it with different like ingredients. And then when you have the right synergy, dude, it's like lights out. So, but we were already, dude, at like 100 plus variations. And I remember, like, this was 180 or something iteration. This was, we were already doing this for like 3-4 months, me and my friend there. And I remember me and my friend were going to the gym and one day, and we had just tried our latest variation. And I was like, dude, I was dead sure, like, this is going to be it. It was like eight or nine ingredients together. We'll go to the gym. And this is a big dude, like 6'5", 250, big dude. And literally he almost gets emotional on the way like to the gym. And I was like, dude, are you okay? Like, what's going on? And he turns around to me. He's like, dude, I just took something, and whatever you just gave me, like, that, I've not felt like that like ever before. I feel, and I was like, dude, what do you feel? And he's like, dude, I feel like I've had the best night's rest. Like, I'm so calm right now that this is a feeling. I feel so happy and I feel good, and I can't describe it, that I'm getting emotional. And I was like, holy shit, like, what is it? And so we went back, and then we had just tried the 180 or something variation. So I put that concoction together in a capsule, and I started taking it myself. And that for me was a big, big boost with other stuff I was doing, obviously being more organized with my studies and stuff, and taking this format that I created just for myself. And yeah, long story short, of course, the story traveled that me and my friend had something that we were using. And in law school, very common is Adderall and study drugs, and people take tons of shit there, very competitive. So people had heard that I was taking something. Long story short, people asking me, Freddie, what do you have? You have all these, because I was already kind of known in class for having all these businesses on the side. And that became like a mystique around it. And yeah, I started giving it to people. I was like, oh yeah, you want to try it? And I was like, I'll get more testers. If it works, then I can maybe tweak the formula more. And I remember at one point, dude, I'd given out so many of these. And I was like, dude, I can't like give out this because, well, we got to have a real manufacturer make this and stuff. Let's turn it into a business. And so that's how the business started, man. Totally by accident. My entire life, dude, I talk about planning, having some sort of plan about what you want to do, think about cash, all that stuff. And then this business that I'm so involved with has become a big success is totally unplanned. It's something that I use for myself, and it became just word of mouth that kind of spread. And we partnered with the manufacturer, and now we're, long story short, a year and a half, 2 years later, we're literally selling tons of these every day. So yeah, that's the story and kind of a long-winded way.
Yeah, that's absolutely amazing. I want to just give people a little bit of context just in case they've never heard of nootropics.
Yep.
Like these aren't things that are synthesized in a lab, right? Like these have been used for thousands of years.
Yeah. So there's different type of nootropics, and you can kind of, and this is going to be a debate that people have in the space. Like, dude, what's a nootropic? Mm-hmm. Some companies say it's caffeine is a nootropic. Some other people say some pharmaceuticals like antidepressant medication is a nootropic. For me, it's something that's not synthesized in a lab. It's something that's natural in nature that's found. And that's just natural ingredients. You extract it from natural ingredients. And yes, you have a manufacturer that blends it together. But those are, and I can get into like a little bit more what I think the definition is, but I'm obviously not an authority on it. But when I see like caffeine or heavy stimulants falling under nootropics, I kind of like, yeah, you know, I can see it. Companies try to get away with it because nootropics is a hot word, but people still don't know what they are. So what they'll do is they'll use stimulants, like they'll use like taurine and caffeine, and then they'll add a couple of herbs to it and be like, this is a nootropic. And can you dispute that? I don't know. But that's not a nootropic. Nootropic is, you look at the ingredients, be like, dude, yeah, this is a nootropic. It helps with cognitive enhancement. It supplies blood flow to the brain. And it doesn't bring your dopamine and serotonin out of whack. It just brings it into balance. So those are the things that what nootropics are supposed to do. And that's, if anyone uses the right blend, it doesn't have to be as like anything you use. The way you're supposed to feel is extreme calm. Like when you're in the zone, you're not supposed to feel stimmed out. Like people say, oh, dude, I felt a little bit different when I took my pre-workout, though. It doesn't feel like 5-hour energy. I was like, dude, it's not 5-hour energy. If it felt like 5-hour energy, it's not a nootropic. So people don't really know what nootropics are because they haven't really tried it before. But a good one should make you feel calm, relaxed, and in the zone and focused. Think about 8-9 hours of great sleep that you've just had. And you wake up, you're like, dude, I'm ready to tackle the day. It shouldn't be something you feel like all of a sudden, like a burst of energy. If that's the case, it's probably laced with stimulants. So
really, really interesting. So for people who like who is the perfect person to take a nootropic? Like, is it someone who is really focused on grinding? Is it someone who wants to just focus and concentrate? Like, is there an ideal person? And I guess on the other end, is there someone who maybe shouldn't take nootropics?
Yeah, I always am careful, like when people are taking other type of medication that alters like chemicals in their brain, which is usually like antidepressants, SSRIs. Like if you're on those, just like watch out, like talk to a doctor before. I always say that to anyone because these, like the legitimate ones, they do have an effect on brain chemicals because that's the point. Like nootropics are cognitive enhancers, and they don't, and really, you know, honestly, they don't enhance anything. What they do is they make what you already have work better. Mm-hmm. So for a lot of us, through years of caffeine use, like our dopamine and serotonin, which are basically responsible for pleasure and reward and happiness, they're out of whack for most of us in America. I mean, all of us, like I think to some degree. So when we take nootropics, what it does, it just brings them back to balance. So the feeling that you feel isn't really an exogenous source making you feel awesome, and then it goes away after 30 minutes. It's something that is just bringing how your body is supposed to function. It's supposed to feel like that. You know, when you're healthy and injury free, you feel a certain way. That's how you're supposed to feel. It just brings it back. So, so anyone who's looking for a better performance, that for me is, that's the person who should use nootropics. I found in our company, it's so wide, man. Like that's a difficult part. Like we sell to working moms a lot. We sell to chiropractors that are giving it to their senior citizens. We're trying to get more out of their health and memory decline. And then we have a ton of athletes that are using the product. So there isn't really one segment who for whom it's better than others. Like if you want to perform better, and I mean, for who is a multivitamin? I mean, the multivitamin is, I would say it's for everyone. So this is a multivitamin for your brain. That's how I would say it. And like everyone could kind of use it. The one thing I'll say, yes, we have a nootropic and yes, I'm excited about it. But before you even get into using as or something, try like start with like a single ingredient and another ingredient and then work your way up. That way you can find what works for you before you go into the pre-formulated formula. Like maybe that might be the better, because then you can see which things work and which things don't. So that's just an advice I have in general, you know, for people that get that are getting involved. But is it for everyone? Yes, it's literally for, I think everyone could benefit from it because it is just general performance and health and performance.
Awesome. And you said athletes. So do nootropics help with like physical performance as well?
Yeah, I would say a big part. I actually have a study on it, and I've done quite a little bit of research. Actually, I published it on our website, but it talks about it talks about nootropics and strength athletes. And I think really the way you should think about it, if your brain functions more optimally, what starts happening as a byproduct, you are able to fire quickly your neurons and you're able to make more rapid connections. So people who are really good at pattern recognition and people, you can throw something at them mentally and they get it, they process things quicker. That's what nootropics are supposed to do. And the way they do that in a simple form is by bringing more oxygen to the brain. So there's more oxygen and blood flow going through the brain, so you're able to make more rapid connections. So for weightlifters or for athletes, what it does, it increases their reaction time. But it also, for weightlifters, what we've seen is that it increases their ability to make mind-muscle connection, which I think is really beneficial if you're trying to be in the gym. And you don't have to be a weightlifter for that, but like anyone who's going into the gym for any type of performance. And as a bodybuilder, I found like pre-contest where I'm getting heavy in my training, when I use nootropics, my muscles fire better and I'm able to get a better mind-muscle connection. So that's how it helps. It's not a creatine. It's not something that's going to give you muscle mass. But what it does is it allows your brain and your muscles to fire more optimally. And, you know, you can fill in the blanks of like how much that could help in peak performance for sure.
That's awesome. So kind of pivoting to you. So you've got a ton of successful businesses, like you're doing great. And you're under 30, right?
Yeah. I just turned 28.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. So do you find that you came to the States with this hunger, or was this something that you developed?
Yeah. It's such an awesome question, man. And I love that you asked that, because this is a big debate. Like is entrepreneurship, like, is it nurture, is it nature? What is it? I definitely came with the hunger of like doing something, but it wasn't with the hunger of like, dude, I got to start like 10 businesses and I have to become like this big entrepreneur. Like that wasn't it. It was more about, because I wasn't from here, like in America, like especially in Boston, like entrepreneurship is huge here. Like everyone's doing a startup, but you know, where I'm from the Netherlands and Switzerland, like we don't know about that stuff. When you say startup, they've never heard what that is. And I didn't really know much about it. So the good thing about that is that when you come from a place where things aren't really talked about, you don't know your limit. Like there's no limitations really, because you don't know what can go wrong. So whenever I used to talk to people, I like to listen to their problems a lot. And I just thought, oh, that's a problem. And like, let me see if I can do it and I can help solve that. And I just didn't have a whole lot of fear of like failure really, because I'm like, what can really go wrong? Like whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the mindset I had. I was always someone who would take a little bit more risk and who would like to try out new things. And I knew that maybe the traditional path wasn't something that I was going to really thrive at. So it wasn't really of like, hey dude, I want to become like this multimillionaire and all that stuff and whatever. That wasn't really the drive. It was more like, dude, I like to solve problems and I'm not really scared to try, you know? And that's really it. I think a lot of people of us are timid, and maybe sometimes being timid is okay, but when it comes to your life and your goals and the things that you desire and want, you can't be timid about them. You know, like if I'm like, dude, people are in my, for instance, in my college, my first business, I was going to the gym and working out, and a lot of them were like, dude, I need like protein and supplements, but there was no Amazon Prime. Like, where am I supposed to get them from? Because if I order from bodybuild.com or from the internet, it takes like 6 days, and I don't have a car. I can't go to GNC. So where am I going to get this from? And I was like, oh yeah, you're right, man. Where are you supposed to get it from? It's way, because most people need their protein right now. No one orders like in advance. I was like, oh, great idea. So I was like, the next day, I called the distributor and I was like, hey, I want to order like X amount of your product. Just can you ship it to me? And they're like, who are you? I was like, oh, I'm starting a company. I'm going to be a reseller. And they're like, okay. And I was like, okay, but I can't pay you right now. Let's do net 30. And they're like, okay. And so actually 3-4 days later, I got this massive delivery of like 6 major brands, their protein, their pre-workout, their creatine, and I got all shipped to my dorm. So me and my buddy would sleep on the floor and our entire dorm was full with like all the stuff. And what I did, I was like, I put up a website and I said at my university, if you want to get your protein, whatever, I offer you delivery, not 6 days, not 2 days, 20 minutes on campus. So we would have a bike, put a protein on a bike, and I would just go to dorm and or go to the gym and just give people their stuff. And they would order from my website, horrible website. I have no idea how to code, no idea what to do. It was like really ugly. But people, and then it was just the business that I started, and then the business scaled, and we copied it in so many schools, and I sold my stake, and the business is still around, and that's awesome. So, but it wasn't a whole lot of thought that was like, dude, I gotta think about everything through every business plan, I gotta have every math. But for me, it was like, dude, I listen to a problem, and I'll just try it. And what's the worst case that could have happened? I could have lost some money, and whatever, you know, it's not the end of the world. I'll figure it out. So I think it was more that thing. I think the characteristics isn't really, people say, well, how do you know you have an entrepreneur, you're talking to a potential entrepreneur? I was like, it's not someone who's going to be like, dude, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. It's like different characteristic traits. So one of them being just not really giving a shit about other people's opinions all the time. And number two is like not being timid. Like if you want something, you go for it and not analyzing to death, because you never know enough about something. Like you just never know. Like even now, dude, like I've done so many of this. I've bought so many businesses. I've sold so many businesses. Even now when I'm doing it and going through the process, I don't know everything. So, you know, am I going to wait my entire life to get experience? And my thing was always like, dude, I don't have time to get experience. Like I can't know everything. I wanted to do it. And so I guess that's maybe to answer your question a little bit, it was more just risk-taking, not really caring as much, you know? So.
Yeah. And I want to just acknowledge too, like you said, you called up these companies and you said, look, I can't pay you now, but I will pay you.
Yeah.
And it's like most people would analyze the situation in their head and they'd say, okay, that'd be a great idea to buy supplements, to have them in my apartment or whatever, and then resell them, but I don't have the money, so I guess I can't do it. And then they move on. So I think that's a really, really powerful thing. Like seeing a problem, but like figuring out how to solve it rather than just giving up and saying it's not possible.
A huge dude. And you know, I always tell people, dude, just ask, man. Like you never know. Like if just go for it. Just ask. I've honestly like been able to cross so many barriers in my life. Because most of the problems that we have in our head are just like things we make up. And I've always asked people like, dude, you're like, oh man, I'm stressed about something. And I'm like, okay, well, the past few times you've been stressed in your life about a work problem or a school problem, has the stress really materialized? Like, was it really that bad? And if you go back, like, dude, actually, no. More often than not, I was just worried about, and it all ended up being okay. So, and it's funny because people don't learn from that. Like they're stressed and then the day comes that there's what the stress is all about. And then it's actually fine. It was actually never that bad. But then they're stressed again the next time. I was like, dude, you have a whole track record where everything you've done or you're stressed out about wasn't really that stressful. So, and so the one thing I've always found, like a lot of my hurdles that seems like hurdles, I knew there were none because it's just in my head. And the other thing is just ask. Like you can get, like you can ask. Like one of the things, like when I worked in, even now in business, I worked a little bit in a law firm and I would always get raises all the time. Like I would just tell my boss, hey man, is it possible for me to get a raise? I think, and of course you have to do the work. Like, hey, I did this. And they're like, yeah, sure. Why not? And then I got a raise and no one else was getting one because they didn't ask. So you can't expect, like you're not entitled to anything in life. Like you're not entitled to success. You're not entitled to get a raise. You're not entitled. Like we think our boss should magically think about giving us a raise. It's like, right now I have employees. I have so many employees and I don't know what everyone's doing all the time. So unless they're telling me, hey man, I need a raise. I need help. I can't be there for like every single person every single day. Mm. So just ask. Hopefully, and that's very simple, man. It costs not much energy. And that was one thing I did. I'm never afraid to ask questions. And I was always in law school raising my hand about the dumb question, and everyone would roll their eyes. Ah, oh, Preddy has another question. I was that kid. But whatever, man. Like I would ask, and I do that still in business. I was like, that's what I did that time. I was like, dude, I can't pay you right now. I don't have any money, but I can pay you 30 days. So I'm like, okay, we'll do it. And I've actually gotten, okay, we'll do it. Probably over 90% of the time. It's like scary. The statistics are scary. And you can literally, for anyone listening in, I know there's so many people listening in their life, you can apply that to business, to finance, to sports, to your dating life. Like just go for it. Like don't analyze to death. And that's one thing that I've definitely learned, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think it is smart to kind of think about how you ask rather than just kind of like blurting out the question? Or do you think it is something where it's like action will beat that analyzation every time?
Yeah, I mean, of course, there's a strategy about how to do it, right? You don't, like, if you want to ask for a raise, like, don't just go and like, blurt out, like, hey, I want more money. Like, there's a way to ask for it and when to do it. And you always want someone to back it up. So talk is also cheap. So if I'm going to ask for a raise and I've never done anything and I don't have anything to prove why I need a raise, then you're not going to get a raise. So, of course, there's some strategy to it. So you have to apply some thought, but it shouldn't be paralyzing thoughts. So there's thoughts that are limiting thoughts that say there's thoughts that in your mind saying doing it won't matter because it won't happen anyways. And there's thoughts that say, okay, if I do it, I'll get the result, but here's how to do it. So there's two different thoughts, how to do it versus it's not going to work. And the it's not going to work one is, I think, useless, because you should be like, okay, I want to ask for a raise. I know if I ask one, I'll get one, but here's how I should do it properly. That's a different thought process, I think.
I like that a lot. So you've definitely, you know, you made a name for yourself. Like, you have a lot of success just looking behind you, that beautiful view from right. Where you're staying. Do you know what's next for you? Like, do you have any plans or anything that you're really looking forward to?
Yeah, man, I honestly think it's like whatever you're doing, just doing it slightly bigger and having slightly more impact. And I say the word slightly because, you know, we have this concept, I think, here, a very American, right? So we have to take massive action and we have to do these massive grand things. And I'm all for it, dude. You got to make grand plans, and you should, if you want to conquer the world, you should go for it. But I think, where I've seen the most success is like doing small things, right? And perfectly well. And that's compounded interest then ends up being big, right? So my goal in the beginning, dude, when I started, I was 18, 19, my first business. I was like, dude, I just want to deliver my protein to my 10 customers, my friends on time. That's it. And I want to be really good at it. I was like, guys, we've set 20 minutes. We have to deliver in 18. It wasn't a plan of, I want to sell this business for like 7 or 8 figures or 6 figures. That wasn't the goal. Like, yes, I thought maybe I could do that one day, but that wasn't the daily goal. So just doing small things right is really has always led it. And over time, I started 18, 17, my first business was 13, 14. So yes, I've been doing it for 14 years, and over 14 years at 28, yes, I have accomplished, but that's by doing small things right all the time. And it can be something like, dude, if you're listening to this right now, you're like, dude, I feel disorganized. Like, I don't know where I'm going with my life. I'll just be like, dude, make your bed every day. Like, just start with that. Just treat yourself a little better. Instead of going to the gym like once a month, just go twice. That's it. Just do that. Don't worry about it. Like, don't think about, dude, I gotta have a whole lifestyle change and I gotta do this or that. It's like, don't worry about it. Because if you go to the gym instead of once a month, you go once a week, over time, in a year from now, your physique is gonna be much better and your health markers are all gonna be great. So in a year from now, you're gonna have made the massive change, but all you are doing is making slight changes every day. So to answer your question, I'm looking to make slight progress every single day. So when I have my nootropic company right now, the goal was selling it just in the States, and now we're selling in almost all continents. And the goal is awesome. To give it to more people to try out and also make a bigger impact when it comes to that. And another thing I want to do is I want to be able to share all this stuff. So like, you having me on the show, dude, I'm so grateful, like, to be able to come on your platform, your show. That's something that's a personal goal of mine. Like, dude, I have the story to tell. And if like two people like, dude, I listened to that and now I can like apply to my life, dude, that's hell yeah. That's what I'm trying to do more. Like, get everything I'm doing, do a little bit more of that and give a little bit more every day, man. So there's no grand vision right now of like, I want to have this billion-dollar empire. It's nothing like that. It's just, I want to do what I'm doing more proficiently every day and then making an impact to more people. If it's one person or two people, I'm excited. I have a newsletter right now. I started with like three people when I started. I think one was my sister and the other was my mom. So, and now it's at the thousands. And some days we add like 10 or 20 or 50 people. I'm excited for that. Some days we add one person. I'm excited about that, you know? So that's just as long as there's progress, and that's what I'm mostly focused on. And that's the concept of compounded interest that you hear Warren Buffett and stuff talk about. It's not that he was growing massive companies that are big valuations like in a year. It was like he's invested slowly and that paid off.
Yeah, man. And that's, I think, like one of the most powerful things. That's actually to my right. You see The Slight Edge is one of my favorite books. It's the first personal development book I ever read. And that's the concept in it. It's like the small things. And it's so tough to understand sometimes just because you do think it, like, you see people and you see their transformation and all you see is the before and the after.
Of course. Yeah.
It's like, all right, I want to make a massive change. So I have to make a massive jump. But yeah, the reality is, unless you're having like some intense emotional moment in your life where things like really, really change, it all does start with those really small incremental changes.
Huge, dude. And I'll even speak from a business perspective. Like, for you to make that massive jump, someone has to be willing to invest and take time and work with you. But you know what, like even for me now, like I invest in companies and people pitch to me. And if I have someone who's like, hey man, I was like, what's your business? Like, dude, I started a tech company, Silicon Valley. We raised a ton of money. Yes, it didn't work out, but here were all my investors and I blew through. I went through $50 million and we blew through it. It didn't work out, but look how well I worked with it. That's one person. If someone else comes to me, is like, hey man, I started a lawn mowing service and we had 10 clients and we're doing it in my street. And then by the end of it, we had about 150 clients and we did 4 streets and we were always on time. We never missed any days that we were not mowing lawns. Here's all of our paper. It's organized. We're successful. We have all these reviews. Now, most people are like, dude, that guy worked with Peter Thiel and they work with Andreessen Horowitz and they were in Silicon Valley. But when I look at it, I was like, dude, you're incompetent. You went through $50 million and you couldn't scale shit. Whereas me, this other person who made $100,000 in profit or 50 grand in profit, but was able to be on time, they scaled, they pay their employees on time. For me, that's the person I would rather invest in. So when the time comes for them to make that massive jump and when they need investment or when they need people to partner with it, I think competent investors would invest in them and then they can make their big jump. Well, you know, it could be like your podcast. You're always consistent, man. You produce good stuff. Your website, it looks great. I was on it. So, you know, in the beginning, you can have like 10 people on there, but you always publish and you always at the same time at the right intervals. And then when someone sees that, they would rather work with someone like that versus a big, someone who has like 5,000 followers, but they just never post shit. It's like, dude, you're not competent. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. So being competent at small things will lead you, the universe or something or somebody will be able to then allow you to give the opportunity to do big things down the line. Someone might want to collab with you or something. So don't be disheartened. I get that a lot. Dude, I only have one follower or I have a business. I only have 10 customers. When I saw, you know, I've done businesses where I just got no one for like months and no one bought shit, but it's like, I'm still going to be producing content. I'm still going to ship everything on time. I'm not going to let that discourage me because over time someone's going to see that and that's how that's going to grow. And that's what happened to me too. Like people are willing to give me deals and willing to ask me to invest in their business. Because my first business wasn't it wasn't like a $50 million exit. It was like not even close to that. It was a very small business, but I'd scaled it and I'd sold it. And that was already a success story. So I think to your point, man, yeah, you can do compound interest, but you're not a loser if you want to do small things right. You're actually a winner because it allows you to play a big game down the line. So
yeah, I totally love that, man. Thank you. For the people who are out there interested in connecting with you and learning more about you, where could they do so?
Yeah, 100%, man. So they can go on Instagram. I'm mostly active on Instagram. So if you look me up, Prady Tewari, P-R-A-D-Y, last name, T-E-W-A-R-I-E, look me up on Instagram and then shoot me a DM. I'm pretty active mostly on DM. That's where most people, message me, or they can, go on www.getazoth.com. And you go on that site, if you go to About Us, there's like a place where you can contact me directly. I actually respond like almost like to every email if that's sent to me. Also there's a chat bot on the site and I'm actually the one, I check it every day. So if you have a question, feel free to reach out. I'm a big proponent of that. So if you want to reach out and have questions about anything, man, your questions about success or nootropics, it doesn't have to be about my company or anything like that. I'm very down. Dude, I talk to so many people. They have questions about business. I'm always down to down to get them involved.
That's awesome, man. And just from like meeting people who are like that, like they're the ones who are successful. So it's like it shows, like just like we were talking about doing the small things.
Right.
It just shows, man. Like you're at a high level and you're still at that place where you are putting in the work and you're not just like this. You have this big head where, you know, super overconfident. So yeah. Just appreciate that.
Of course, man. We're always learning. That's the cool thing. When I'm talking to other people, I learn from them. And you never know. You never know enough. So that's the cool thing. I love interacting with people. I barely ever say no to any meeting. Like people ask me to meet. I always meet with them if I can. Yeah, man, I love doing that stuff. So if anyone wants to try, if you go on to Get Azoth, and I was thinking about like, if people want to try it out, like don't pay full price for it. Sometimes people want to try out a bottle because I might go to podcasts and don't pay a full price. Actually, you can go in and put in early risers and put in that code and you get a massive, like a huge discount. It's basically on the house. And basically you get my code that I use, just put that in there. And yeah, you'll get a pretty significant discount. That's why you can try it because I've always said, like I tell all my guys, like people are putting a lot of money, like money's hard earned. Like, it takes a lot of effort to earn money. And so, like, when you're selling stuff, like, I want people to know, like, you can be confident in the product. So that's why we're like one of the few is I put a third party batch report on the site, so you know what you're getting. And also I'm really willing to always give out products if you want to try it. Like, I think companies that are like, dude, nah, don't give out any samples. Like, well, if it's a good product, people will buy it. So don't worry about it. So yeah, we definitely put in that code and yeah, you'll get a pretty good discount. We just set that up.
Thank you, Brady. That's awesome. That's super, super awesome. I have some just rapid fire questions for you just to hear your answers on some things. So first of all, do you have a favorite book out there that you'd like to recommend?
Yes. So one of my favorite books that I like to recommend is a well-known book. It's Principles by Ray Dalio. Very good book. It's sometimes can be a heavy read. You have to read it a few times, I feel, before you really dive deep into it. But it's a very, very good book. And I want to add to that, if people are kind of into business and feeling like what they should do, there's a book called Built to Sell. Read that book. It talks about systemizing things and organizing your life. So, but Principles by Ray Dalio remains one of my favorite books.
Awesome. 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 Another little segment called My Current Obsession. And I'm curious to know if there's something right now that you are currently just weirdly obsessed with, like, doesn't have to do with business, doesn't have to do with anything in particular, just something you find yourself thinking about or doing often, or yeah, you're just obsessed with.
Yeah, man. One of the things I've been super obsessed with is, I've been looking for a bit now, for patterns. And I've been obsessed, like, at a point where, like, I want to get some answers is why certain people are able, it's kind of broad, but why certain people in business are able to succeed and others aren't. So what I've been doing lately is, because I've grown my own business, I have a little bigger network now. And I have this concept where, I think a couple other entrepreneurs do it, but I've been doing it for a bit, is every day of the week, I eat one meal with someone else. Like, I never eat by myself, especially one meal. So, cause when I was eating, like, sometimes I'm in a rush at lunch and then I'm watching, like, I'm really big into, I watch soccer or I watch some show and I'm eating. I was like, dude, what the hell am I doing? I'm eating already. I could just eat with someone else. So I have a thing on every Sunday, I message, like, or people message me 6 to 7 people. And I'm like, hey man, let's eat Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So my whole schedule, I eat one meal with, like, I never eat alone. That's pretty much it. And what I try to do in those conversations, I try to find out, like, what they've been successful in. And I try to look for patterns. I don't have an answer yet, but I'm always coming a little bit closer, you know, whether it's grit, determination, is it networking, but that's been my passion, to find patterns. And the book, going to your first question, Principles, really talks about, you can find principles in everyday life that will allow you to succeed at a faster rate. So I'm trying to find the principles of success. It's obviously very broad, but being able to talk to people and listen to them will give you so much insight what's going on in their lives. I'm just having a conversation just with you, man. It gives me more insight. So having good conversations, networking people every day, but trying to find patterns for what makes people become successful. I'm actually writing down, I have a notebook where I'm writing all this stuff down. I'm learning. So
that is awesome, man. I love that. And I'm in Connecticut. So if you ever need someone to grab a meal with, I'll make the drive.
We'll do it 100%. I'll take you up on it. 100%.
Perfect. That's awesome. Awesome. And then we covered a lot of awesome stuff this episode, and I'm big on actionable steps and not overwhelming people with a ton of information. So if there was a person out there who listened and they got some awesome information and they're ready to make some sort of a step, what's one recommendation that you would give them?
Yep. I would say find something that you can do, a habit in your life that you can implement right now. It can be something really small where you can see the results as soon as possible, and do it. And this can be something as like, dude, I never pay my bills. Like, never pay my bill on time. I'll pay it on time for the next 6 months. So just do that. Because I'm a big proponent of the way our mind works. It looks at wins that we have during a day. And if you have small wins, it allows you to do big things right. So that's my process. People always ask, dude, oh, you have all this big business, man. How do you do that? Like, let me focus on that. I was like, no, we're not going to focus on that. We're going to focus on, what do you do when no one's watching? Like, what do you do? Like, I'm asking, like, do you make your bed in the morning? Like, do you miss meals? Do you not eat breakfast? Like, just small stuff that you can implement and you can see the results right away. It's really important to do stuff that's what I see is short-term gratification. People, I know they're not big on that, but long-term gratification, yes, dude, I'll start investing in like bonds or stocks, and like 8 years from now, I'm going to see it. I don't think you should do that for the first thing. The first thing you should do, I'm always into health and fitness, because health and fitness is cool, because when you lift and eat well, eat clean and well, you can see results literally in like a few weeks. So I would always say, if it's not health and fitness, or find something that you can do that will give you an immediate win over in a short period of time, like 2 or 3 weeks, and do that consistently. And you'll notice that all the big wins that you're hungry for, they'll fall in line. They will just automatically build upon that. So that's my actionable step. And for me, that habit would be going to the gym or eating clean, not drinking soda for like 6 weeks, something small like that.
Awesome. And I'm urging everyone listening to do that. Preddy, do you have one final message for everyone listening?
The final message is if you're starting out in life and if you're if you think you're small or just a beginner, don't worry about it. I've always said this, but you cannot compete with the big dogs. I don't like it when people say, oh, well, Grant Cardone is doing this or Gary Vee is doing this. Or sometimes people say, oh, you're doing this, I'm just going to do that. Like, you can't compete with that right now because that's not who you are. So in life, if you want to win, like, play your game. And the thing to remember is that you can do what the big dogs are doing, but the big dogs cannot do what you're doing either. So do that and focus on that. I've built this company, Azith, and we're selling, I don't know how many bottles, and I built it through writing handwritten notes to every customer. I still do that, and I've written, I don't know how many notes, but that's not something that big businesses can do, but I can do it. So I'll do that. So instead of saying, oh, well, a big nootropic company or big supplement company is investing like $500,000 in a trade show and like going to the Arnold Classic or something. What most small companies do, like, oh man, I can't go to this trade show, I don't have enough money. I don't give a shit about that. What I can do though, is I can write handwritten notes and call every customer, because I only have 10 customers, I can call them. But that 10 customers that I'm calling, now they're like, well, that company didn't do it, but Preddy's company did. Now I have a connection with Preddy's company. So play up your strengths, and the fact that you're small is a strength, it's not your weakness. And don't worry about playing other people's games. Like, I know you're listening to Tony Robbins and all these guys and listen to all these motivational people. Don't worry about what they're doing. You can learn principles from them, but focus on what you're good at, and that's your strength, and play your game. Because if you play other people's game, you're going to lose. When you play your game, no one can beat you because there's only one of you. So don't be discouraged by being small. I think it's not the right mentality.
I love it. Thank you so much, man, for coming on. This has been extraordinary.
Absolutely, man. Dude, again, I wanted to just express my gratitude for allowing me to be on the show. I know some of the people don't know how much effort goes into putting up a show and doing all the stuff that you're doing. So I definitely want to recognize that. And again, thanks so much. And I hope that people got some value. If they have any questions, feel free to reach out to me.
Perfect. Yeah. Everyone connect with Preddy, and I appreciate it, man.
Awesome.